Okay, spiritual warfare. This morning's lesson, lesson number 5 in this series, we're going to talk about ready feet. Okay, how ready are your feet? Have you prepared them for action? Are they ready to go? All right, your feet are one of the most important things you have because they help you get to where you got to go, right? Okay, so we're going to talk about having our feet ready this morning. In this lesson series, we've been talking about the fact that war really is hell and looking at the relationship between war and hell. There's a couple of things that we have noticed. That first of all, there is a spiritual war that is going on right now. It's taking place right now around all of us, and every single one of us is involved in this war. It is a universal war, not just a world war, but a universal war, being that it covers and it involves the whole universe. Not just the physical world that you and I live in and see, but it is the entire universe that is involved in this war. Another thing that we've been pointing out through this series is that every single one of us is in this war. Nobody is neutral. Nobody gets to sit on the sidelines in this war and just kind of watch. Everyone is involved in it. And this war is individually won or lost. We can help one another. We can encourage one another. We can strengthen one another. We can do all of those things for one another in this war. But none of us can win or lose this war for anyone else. It is an individual war to be fought and won or lost by each person. Winning or losing then becomes an issue about heaven or hell. Where we are going to spend eternity is determined by whether we win this war or whether we lose this war. And unfortunately, most people, the majority of people, are going to lose because most people don't even realize they're in a war, let alone being well equipped to fight in this war. And that's what this series of lessons is all about, is to prepare us adequately so that we can win and be victorious in the spiritual warfare that we are in. Our study, we began by talking about making sure we understand the nature of spiritual warfare, that it is not a physical battle, it's not a physical war that we fight with conventional weapons, but it is spiritual in nature. We then talked about making sure we understand who the enemy is, that we understand that flesh and blood is not the enemy in this war. It's not a war of people against people. Though Satan uses people to fight against us in this war, we have to understand and remember that people are not the real enemy. Satan is the real enemy. Okay? And then in this part of our study, where we are right now, we're looking at the different pieces of armor that God has provided so that we can make sure we are indeed ready for battle. Okay? So, let's talk about footwear, because that's the part that we're looking at this morning. Ready feet, okay? I thought it'd be kind of interesting. I found it interesting when I was putting all this together to go back and look at some old advertisements for footwear. How about this guy? And some of you might remember him. Good old Joe advertising Dingo boots, okay? And the Dingo Man, he's no ordinary Joe. Joe Namath, okay? Or how about this advertisement for the classic tradition of footwear, all talking about the style and the comfort and so forth. Okay, how many of you remember these? Good old Buster Brown shoes, right? Okay. Or how about naturalizers? Okay, here's the thing about all these various footwear advertisements that are from way, way back or the ones that are still being done today. They are all about two things, comfort and style. Okay? How comfortable are your shoes and how stylish are they? All right? Now, I just thought I'd throw this in. Here's a little fact that most of you probably don't even realize about me. How many of you knew that at one time that I sold shoes? I was, and I guess technically I still am, a Mason shoe salesman, okay? Selling Mason shoes. But it's all about the footwear, isn't it? You see? How comfortable are our feet, and how stylish are they? Well, let's go back even further than the advertisements that we've just been looking at here with these kind of shoes, and let's talk about a Roman soldier's footwear. Okay? For some of them, they probably looked something like this. Sandals on their feet and some kind of shin guards, if they were able to have them, to protect the lower half of their legs. Okay? Now, the interesting thing about the Roman soldiers' footwear, the sandals that most of them wore, typically had some kind of studs or spikes or hobnails in them. And the reason that they were outfitted with those is that it would give them much better stability, especially when they were fighting hand-to-hand combat or close-quarters combat. It gave them a lot more stability to be able to stand their ground and fight. Okay? That way, that soldier would not be pushed back by his enemy. The Apostle Paul, as we're looking at these pieces of armor, tells us to stand firm then. And as we have seen already thus far, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And, as we saw last time, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And now, in this part, he says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Well, let's talk about that readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Having our feet fitted with that. In other words, as soldiers of Christ, as Christians, as God's people, this is what we need to have on our feet. All right? Ready. Readiness. With the gospel of peace. What does that really mean? How does that translate? Well, first of all, it's there so that we're not being pushed around by Satan. And you know, in this spiritual warfare, that's one of the things that he wants to do. He wants to push us around and make us go where we don't want to go and do what we don't want to do and so forth. Having our feet fitted with the gospel of peace allows us to stand firm, to stand our ground in hand-to-hand combat with Satan, so to speak. Now, I don't know about you, but I think one of the best methods, and I didn't come up with this, I found this and I think, boy, this is really cool. One of the best methods of hand-to-hand combat for God's people is this. Put your hands together in prayer. You see, that's hand-to-hand combat when we're dealing with Satan. Okay? But we need to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. How does that work? What does it really mean? All right, let's talk about that. There's really two major things I want to focus on with this. First is, when we have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, it allows us then to find peace in the midst of the conflict or the turmoil that we find ourselves in as we do battle with Satan. So it's peace in the midst of conflict. You know, when people from the world are in conflict, they face panic and they face fear. Those are two of the greatest reactions in terms of the amount of the way that folks typically respond is in panic and fear. What am I going to do? How is this going to work out? What's going to happen? And all the what-ifs, and we've talked about those before, and the fear of what might happen or what might not happen and all of those kinds of things. That's how the world responds. Those who don't have their feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, this is the option they have: fear and panic. And Satan sits back, and this is what he says: chaos, panic, fear, my work here is done. Because that's what Satan wants us to feel. When we are in the midst of turmoil, when we're in the midst of conflict, he wants us to feel that panic and fear. And so he's going to sow that amongst us, trying to get us to be afraid and to panic. What God wants for us are these two things. Instead of panic and fear, he wants us to have confidence and assurance. That's the opposite of panic and fear. A firm footing. Okay, remember those hobnails on the bottom of the shoes, all right? A firm footing in the scriptures or the gospel of peace provides that confidence and assurance. All right? And it allows us to provide peace to others in the midst of turmoil. Have you ever, you know, as you're dealing with other people, maybe family members, friends, whatever, people in your Jerusalem, how many times have you found someone that's dealing with some tough thing going on in their life, whether it's a health issue or a job problem or whatever it might be, a family issue, and you being calm and focusing on God's word and maybe even sharing that with them, how that can help them to feel at peace. Okay? Because that's what God's word does, is it provides peace to us in the midst of turmoil or chaos or conflict. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 says this: do not be anxious about anything. But how often do we find ourselves doing that? Anxious about whatever is going on. He says, but in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then the peace of God. And that's really what it is. It's a peace that comes from God which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remember last week in our lesson we were talking about the breastplate of righteousness and how that helps to guard our heart. And how the wise man tells us to place a guard on our heart. It is the wellspring of life. And the peace of God is one of those things that helps us to guard our heart from the chaos and the fear and the panic and all of those other things. But it is a peace that the world doesn't understand. Okay? It is beyond the world's understanding, but it is a peace that God's people can know and feel and know that it is real as it comes from God. The world doesn't understand that peace. Here's why. The world is weighed down with all the problems, all the worries, all the conflict, all the struggles, all of the other stuff that people are facing. Without the peace of God, the only option is to panic and to worry. See? And that's what folks in the world are doing. There's two choices, really. There's either panic, which is, again, what most people in the world do. When things are in turmoil or in conflict, they panic. But what God wants for us is to be calm. Even in the midst of the conflict or the turmoil. Okay? You say, well, how do we do that? Well, we do it with God's word. You see, that peace that passes all understanding. You know, one of the things that I experienced oftentimes back in my days as a trooper is the times when you roll up on a scene where there's a really bad accident or a crime that's taking place, and there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of chaos, everybody wonder what's going on, what's happened, people are scared. And one of the things that I learned early on in police work is that, you know what, somebody, and that's one of the roles of the police officer, somebody has got to keep calm in the midst of all of that chaos. And as the police officer arrives and he's able to keep calm and do what needs to be done, then that allows, then spreads to all the people that are involved and everybody that's watching, and it helps to kind of keep the whole situation from turning really, really, really bad. And the reason I share that with you is because that's what you and I as God's people need to be. We need to be the ones who in any circumstance, in any situation, that we arrive on the scene and we're keeping calm. Okay, we're being at peace in the midst of the turmoil. We're able to share that with those involved. See, so that they can find peace in the midst of that chaos or that turmoil or whatever the situation is. And that's what God wants for us. The peace of God's Word provides peace in the midst of conflict and turmoil and chaos. Well, the other aspect of having our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is that we have peace with God. Hey, well, what does that mean and why do we need peace with God? Well, carrying the gospel of peace really is about taking it to others so that they can make peace with God themselves. And that's part of the whole issue of evangelism, of us being able to go into our Jerusalem and study the Bible with people and tell them about Jesus, because what we're really doing is trying to help people to make peace with God. Okay? Why do we need to make peace with God? Well, let's turn over to Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and look at a couple of things that Paul has to say in Romans chapter 5. First of all, he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, in other words, those who belong to Christ, okay, we've been justified by our faith, he says, we have peace with God. We already have it. If you have been saved, then you have peace with God. We say, well, again, why do I need peace with God? What does that really mean? What is it all about? Well, let's go over to verses 9 and 10. We're going to skip over there for just a moment so we make sure we understand this, where Paul says, since we have now been justified, again, same group of people, those who belong to Christ, by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's, look at this, God's enemies. Okay? Wait a minute. We were enemies of God? Yes. Yes. When we were outside of Christ, living our own selfish life, we were enemies with God. That's what sin does to us. It makes us not only separated from God, but it makes us his enemy. You know, we talk so much about the idea of what sin does is it severs the relationship between us and God, and that is true. But I think one thing that perhaps I haven't really talked about as much is the fact that not only does it separate us, but it puts us in the category or a relationship where we are no longer friends with God, but we are indeed his enemy. Okay, so we are enemies of God, and that's why we need peace. Look at what he says here. Since we have now been justified, in other words, again, we belong to Christ, we've accomplished that through his blood, not by our own justification and actions and so forth, but by his blood, how much more shall we be, look at what he says, saved from God's wrath. We are saved from God destroying us. Because of our sin, because we are his enemies. Okay? We were reconciled to him. Whoops, push the button there. We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? For those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's what has happened for us. We were enemies of God. But we've been reconciled and saved from his wrath, saved from the wrath of being an enemy of God. Go back just a little bit where Paul says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for who? For the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might not possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is, while we were enemies of God. Okay? While we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. Why? Because God wanted to make peace with us, his creation. In verse 11, he says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. So that relationship then has been restored between us and God. So we are no longer enemies of God, but instead we are his friend. In chapter 10, verse 15, Paul there talking about the necessity of going out and sharing the gospel message with other people, the gospel of peace, okay? Look at what he says. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That is, those who have their feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. To go out and to take that good news to those who haven't accepted it yet. To those who are still enemies of God. They need to have the opportunity to make peace with God. Look at what he says in his letter to the Corinthians. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself, there it is again, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by what? Making peace with his blood shed on the cross. So you see, having our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is about, at least in part, making peace with God. Not only for ourselves, but to share that message of peace with as many people as we can in our Jerusalem. So they too can have the opportunity to make peace with God, because that's what God wants. All things, he wants to make peace. And he provided the blood that needed to be shed in order for that peace to happen. We truly are, as we've been saying all along, in a fight for our lives. And we've got to resist. We've got to overcome and defeat the enemy. We resist, we stand firm, okay, with that belt of truth buckled around our waist, with that breastplate of righteousness in place, and with our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Those hobnails or those spikes in there that allow us to stand our ground against Satan. Okay? So that we can find the peace that we need in the midst of the conflict and the turmoil that we face in our lives on a daily basis. We can share that peace with other people. And so that we can take that peace through God's word to as many people as possible, that they can make peace with God on their own. That's the nature of the spiritual warfare that we are in. But God has provided to us the means for us to find peace, to make peace with him, and to find peace even in the midst of turmoil and conflict. We have, Wesley has chosen a song for us to use as an invitation song. I want you to be thinking about this feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. As you go out from here and you're fighting against Satan, how ready are your feet? Okay. Now, again, our invitation is open for those of you who are here physically. If there's something that we can do for you, if you have prayer requests or a need that we can help you with, all you got to do is come and let me know, or Dale is in the back there. You can let him know. Those of you who are online with us worshiping this morning, if you have a prayer request that you would like us to address, you can, while we're doing this invitation song, you can text either Dale or Wes at the phone numbers that are listed there, and just let them know, and we will answer your prayer request and take care of that. for those, again, mainly primarily those of you who are worshiping with us online, and I've mentioned this each time and I'll continue to do so, if there's someone out there who is not yet a Christian, you need to understand that you are not only still separated from God because of your sin, but you are also, as we said earlier, you are currently God's enemy. But God doesn't want you to stay and remain His enemy. He wants you to be reconciled to Him and to be His friend. If you're ready to make a commitment to become a friend of God, to be reconciled to Him, then confess Jesus as Lord. If you believe Him to be so, confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we will do that for you as soon as is possible. All you have to do is text or call us and let us know that you're ready to make that commitment, and we'll make it happen as soon as we possibly can arrange that with you. So that's all you really need to do. Wesley, again, has a song that we're going to use as an invitation. It's an opportunity for anyone to let us know how we might serve you. Wesley, come on up and lead us.